All right. Well, man, I love hearing all of those testimonies of how the Lord is working. I loved hearing that every player for the Seattle Seahawks and coach received a Bible. That's awesome when you hear stuff like that. To hear Coach Frazier talk about how he was touched by someone when he was a rookie in the NFL, and now he's able to see players and coaches do that for others, is such an amazing testimony. Psalm 16:8, which was talked about there at the end, says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I love that player, his motivation every time he steps on the field is his eyes are on the Lord and how can the Lord use him to make an impact for Christ. And so I love hearing that. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about endurance. Endurance. And we're going to talk just for a few moments this morning before lunch about endurance. And I do want to share just as a quick thing here. I love that compassion was being spoken of, obviously the value of adoption being spoken of. And we have been a part of compassion for a lot of years as a church. And many of you individually or as families have supported or do support Children with Compassion International. I encourage you to look into it. We've done some Compassion Sundays here. We're actually considering doing another Compassion Sunday coming up here sooner than later, prayerfully. And so lots of opportunities to serve and to make Christ known practically. I love that. So as we talk about endurance, we talk about this idea of enduring through the things of life. This is something you hear a lot in football. Endurance is something you hear a lot in football. Really, in any athletics altogether, you hear about endurance. The idea of pushing through and enduring through training and competition to accomplish your goal. The idea of pushing through and pushing yourself. The Lions, the last couple years, have kind of adopted this title of being gritty, or the grit of the tiger, or the Lions. And it's the idea that there's a grit there, that they just push through and they work hard and last man up or next man up. It's the idea that you just keep pushing through. And the Tigers even adopted this last year. The gritty Tigers was being kind of talked about and stuff as they were making their playoff push and all of that. And so this idea of grit and resolve is really similar to the idea of this endurance that we're talking about. And I got to be honest with you, I get really excited when I talk about the Tigers, because what does that mean? That spring is coming. It's hard to believe. I believe pitchers and catchers might report this week coming up or real soon if they haven't already. And so it just means spring's coming, warm weather's coming, right? I think I was looking ahead. It shows that today's or tomorrow's going to be like one of the cooler days, and then it's going to get into the 30s for the high. Come on, you are not just that. You got to be excited. I said 30s, not 30 below, 30 above. Like, that is amazing. So we're praising the Lord for that. But just that idea of endurance, right? We enduring through, just like many of us are enduring winter. Like, we're just pushing through. But this idea of endurance is seen in a lot of athletics. And I want to show you guys one more clip. And this is from a movie called Facing the Giants. But I think this really kind of puts into picture that endurance, that idea of pushing through beyond your limitations. Even when you feel like you can't take another step, there is a strength available. And we're going to talk about the source of that strength that we can push through. So watch this clip. What I love about that scene is the ability to push through. And I want us to know this morning that in Christ, we have a strength to endure. We have a strength available to us to push beyond our limitations, to dig deep and to continue even when it's hard. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm just going to look at one verse to start. Hebrews chapter 12, and if you're using one of the Bibles provided, you can just turn to page 849. Page 849, but Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This word for patience here is where we're going to key in on this morning. The Apostle Paul, as he's encouraging in Philippians and other passages, as well as the author of Hebrews, is referring our life as a Christian to an athletic event, to a race. And he, the Apostle Paul, speaks much of this idea of racing and running our race. And here, the author of Hebrews talks about us running a race and enduring in a race. That word patience is endurance. It's the same word. So when the author of Hebrews says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, let us run with endurance. The key is, this life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. This life is a marathon, and we will run and run and run with endurance as we set our mind on this reality. The Apostle Paul speaks of this idea in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The phrase can do means to be strong or have power to endure. So can do is referring to having that power or that strength, that ability to endure. It's an active power of God working in us. The author of Hebrews says, run with patience, endurance. That's a passive endurance. It's kind of this passiveness to it. It's just kind of, it's there. We're kind of actively doing it with the power we have in Christ. So there's a passive endurance, just kind of enduring through this race, and there's an active endurance, that power, that ability that is given to us in Christ. The reality is, in Christ, we have the strength to prevail. That's another way to look at this word for endurance or can do. We can prevail. We can endure whatever we come across on the track while we're running our race in this life. You may have not expected that difficulty, that trial, that tribulation. You may not have expected that difficulty on the track, but the Lord knew it was there and prepared you for it long ago. And he's giving you the strength and the endurance that we need. The scene that we watched just a few minutes ago is a fictional movie, Facing the Giants. And it's a few years old, a Christian movie that really kind of started a chain of movies by the Kendrick brothers that really kind of brought a lot of attention to Christian entertainment, which was awesome. But that movie, Facing the Giants, it is a fictional movie. And while completed by the actor, that event, that death crawl in real life. So it was a fictional movie, but that actor literally did what you just saw for the entire length of a football field. And he did it in Georgia on a 100-degree day. So when you hear and you hear the it hurts and there's pain and you see the sweat, that wasn't fake. They weren't spritzing him with a water bottle every so many feet. That was real sweat. That actor really did accomplish that task. And when I was looking into this, the actor who's playing the coach really was motivating him to keep going. And I think I love that about that scene almost as much as I love the fact that we can draw from the illustration the strength we have in Christ to push through. I love that the boundaries weren't deterring him. He just pushed until he couldn't give any more. And I think sometimes we see things in our lives and we see limitations in our lives or our abilities, and we allow those to stop us from what God has for us when we should be thinking about what he has for us and not our limitations. But I love not only that reality illustration, I love the support and encouragement of the coach. I love that God has placed people around you to be that encouragement for you, to be that one to say that you can push through, you can keep going in Christ. We can endure through Christ more than we know because he is strengthening us by his Spirit. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11 says, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Patience and long-suffering. Those words are almost interchangeable in the text. He has given us his strength by his Spirit that we can see the power working in us and endure, have long-suffering, have patience, and we can actually endure with joy. We can endure with joy. Now, any athlete I've ever talked to, any runner I've ever talked to about their athletics, their running, their getting into shape or whatever it might be, they've all kind of said the same thing. Getting to the point of endurance and running to that degree is painful. But once you reach that threshold of now you've kind of built up that endurance, there's actually kind of a joyfulness to it. There's a runner's high, if you will, some have told me. And so in the same way in the Christian life, there's difficult seasons, but we can endure in Christ with joy. How is that possible? Because we know that every pain, every hurt is God growing us and stretching us and conforming us to the image of Christ for his glory. It's by his power. You see, we endure in Christ. I want to give you three quick things. We keep going, we endure, we keep going when it hurts. Again, any athlete or runner will tell you that building up to endurance is painful. Spiritually speaking, as we run our race, it will hurt and there will be trials. However, we must commit now to keep going as we do, as we endure. We commit now before the pain, before the trial, before the hurts. We commit now to keep going. And as we do that, we draw closer to the Lord. Through every pain, we experience the rush of joy in his presence. This race, again, is not a sprint. It's a marathon. We are told that it will not be a nice, easy, casual jog, but something that will take great effort. The word race here in Hebrews, the idea of this race that we're running in the original Greek, is the word agon. Agon. And this is where we get our English word for agony. So when Hebrews says, run your race, he's telling us, the author is telling us, there will be agony. There will be pain. There will be difficulties. But we keep running. The original context carries the idea of a struggle. But it also carries the idea of a contest with a prize. That we're wrestling and we're struggling and we're running, but not for nothing. We're not running for running's sake. We're running for a prize. We're running to endure that we might receive the prize that is the fullness of our salvation. So we run, we keep going, we endure when it hurts. But also we keep going when others criticize. We keep going when others criticize. As you run this race, others, yes, even in or especially in Christianity, even in the church, will criticize you and I. We'll talk in a moment here about the positive forms of coming alongside and pushing and encouraging. I'm talking about just flat out criticism. And whether it's in the church or outside the church, when you're running your race for Christ, there will be criticism. There will be those who will look at what you're doing and criticize and condemn what you're doing. I honestly believe that we right now are in a hypercritical culture. We are in a hypercritical culture. No matter what you do or say, there is criticism. You see this all the time, especially on social media. You say you're doing something, and there will be people that are like, you're doing that? I can't believe you would do that. You say you're stopping something. Why would you stop doing that? I can't believe you would do that. You set boundaries for your children and your family, and for other people, your boundaries aren't strict enough. For other people, your boundaries are too strict. And we live in a culture today where everyone has the freedom they feel to tell you exactly what they think. You didn't ask, but they tell you. You let your children do that. I can't believe you would do that. It's just this hypercritical culture. Man, for new moms and young moms, it's so tough today. For families, it's so tough today. You use formula? Are you kidding me? I can't believe you would do that. Don't you know? Wait, you don't use formula? I can't believe you would do that. That's insane to me. By the way, I just realized that Tyler's wearing a referee jersey. That is awesome. That is amazing. I looked up and I was like, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? That's probably like a soccer jersey or something. Or is it a referee jersey? Okay, yeah, awesome. I should have had him up here doing family fluid. Like, no, you're out, you're good. But as we run this race, what happens? Man, there's criticism. That's how ADD works, y'all. It's everywhere. I don't have ADD. I'm kidding. I don't know if I do. I don't know. But it's fine. We'll just move on. It's good. Distracted moment. But man, there's criticism everywhere. It's just like you, everywhere you turn, you're running your race. Your eyes are on the Lord. You're in the Word. You're praying for wisdom. You're growing. And I feel like we live in a culture that doesn't want to give, even in the church, not just our church, I mean church general, the space for people to grow in grace. And why are we so unwilling to let people just grow in the Lord at the pace at which the Lord is growing them? I'm not talking about ignoring sin. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about not addressing sin in someone's life that God has made you aware of, and you go in love and you go in grace and you go humbly. I'm talking about criticism for criticism's sake. A lesson I learned years ago in ministry, and I'm so thankful for it, and Sandra can attest to this because it set us free in ministry, is that we need to surround ourselves with coaches, not critics. We need to surround ourselves with coaches, not critics. A coach will tell you difficult and hard to hear things. They will push you, like in the video we saw. But the goal is that it's the best for you, and as a Christian, the best for you in Christ. A critic desires to make you more like themselves. That's the difference. A coach will push you to be the best that you can be. A critic will control you so that you can be what they want you to be. The awesome and freeing truth is that you choose who you allow to influence you. I hope this is freeing for somebody here. And maybe there's a family member, there's a friend, there's a relationship that you just need to hear this. And you need to know that you are free in Christ to choose who influences you. Just because somebody wants to have influence over you doesn't mean they should or could. But they're my so-and-so, they're this, they're that. If it's not pushing you to Christ and pushing you deeper into the Word, don't give them influence over you. Well, yeah, but they're wise and they want to speak this into my life. Be careful. Once upon a time, until I kind of made this known years ago, I used to get some letters every now and then. And these letters seemingly on the surface were very nice, but inside the letter was an article. And inside that article was highlighted sentences from the article and things on the side that said, I thought you would appreciate this. And I found out over time of reading these articles and looking at these things and thinking, well, maybe there's some truth in here. Maybe I could dig in here and find some truth, or I could find something that's helpful. And then I realized all the person was doing was saying, this is what I think you should do. And I'm making it sound like it's like just, oh, I was just thinking about you. But it really was a controlling maneuver. It was manipulation. And I remember I used to think, I'll read the letter. I'll try to figure out what I can get from this. And then I was freed from a sermon I heard one time that basically talked about the fact of, again, influence. I'm not saying we don't listen to critical things, again, but know the heart of the person who's talking to you. What's their desire? Is it just to control you, or is it to push you to Jesus? Are they a coach or a critic? And this person said something, again, that was so powerful, because people do that. They'll read through things, or they'll look at a letter, or they'll try to dig in there and try to find the little nugget of truth amidst all the nonsense. And the person said, if you were really, really hungry, you could go into a dumpster and probably find something to eat. You could dig around far enough and find something if you were starving. Or you could just go to the grocery store where all the food is. And you can choose the good and healthy and nutritious food. And so many times we're digging through dumpsters of people's criticism, trying to find the little nugget of truth. And we could just go to the coaches God has placed in our lives who are followers of Christ and say, hey, I need some wisdom on this, and get actual wisdom and discernment. And we know the heart is that of a coach to push us to Jesus. We need to understand that we all need coaches in this life. Followers of Christ who will pray with us, study with us, desire to draw close to Christ with us. They are more concerned with your development in Christ than how you will benefit them. They are more concerned with your growth in Christ than what you bring in benefit to them. That's a coach. By the way, that's a disciple maker. That's really what we're talking about. So we run, we keep going when others criticize, when it hurts, and lastly, when you fail. You keep going when you fail. We will stumble in this race. We will get distracted and drift, choosing to give into that sin temptation. However, if we have fallen out of the race, it is not over, because you have breath in your lungs. You can lay aside the weight of that sin, confessing and repenting of it in Christ. Don't let a moment of failure lead you to quit. You can start again. This encouragement to run our race comes after what many have titled the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. This is where we read about the great heroes of the faith from the Old Testament. And yet these examples of faith are not perfect. They are the cloud of witnesses that Hebrews starts chapter 12 with, that we have set before us. That is the example. That example of all those examples in chapter 11 is the cloud of witnesses that we have before us to look to as an encouragement. We can read of their stories. I love what the one guy said from Seattle. The Bible is full of misfits, imperfect people that God used for his glory. And I love what he said at the end. He just wants his teammates to know, you can come home. God loves you. You can come home. In Christ, you can return. And so what an encouragement that we can read of all these examples in the Bible and find out that they were imperfect people that failed, and yet God used for his glory when they repented and turned to him. The reality is this: when you fail, you are in good company. Moses failed. Noah failed. Abraham failed. Adam failed. The disciples failed. Again and again, it goes on and on. Also, when we fail, we must know that we do not lose our salvation, because that is secure in the finished work of the cross. That is guaranteed and secure. You will not lose your salvation. That is secure in Christ. But we can drift, and we can get distracted, and we can put ourselves on the sideline. And God's calling to us is, get back in the race. Just get back involved. You can keep going. So what keeps us going? What motivates us? The answer is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You and I are guaranteed a victory when we cross that finish line, because Christ has already won. He's already won. The battle is over. He is victorious. And in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. You are victorious in Christ. Our calling is simple. Set our eyes on Christ and run with endurance. It will hurt. There will be criticism. And you may even stumble along the way. But don't quit. Don't quit. Look to Jesus. And why do we look to Jesus? Because Jesus endured such hardships, including the cross, to please the Father. We can look to Christ because he understands. He endured those hardships. He went to the cross and he was buried and rose again. And he gives us the strength in his spirit to keep going. So every day we choose to run for his glory and by his grace. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimonies that we are able to hear. We thank you, Lord, that you working in all of this, that for your glory, that we can run our race, that we can endure by the strength of your spirit. Lord, we talked at the beginning about that power, that ability to prevail, to endure, to keep going. In athletics and in certain areas, we can think that strength is in us. It starts with us. It originates in us. But Lord, we know that if we talk about our spiritual race, that it's your strength in us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Lord, thank you for the power and the ability to prevail in Christ. Lord, help us to keep going. Lord, maybe there's somebody here this morning that's had a moment of failure, and they let that moment of failure turn into them deciding to quit running. They've just thrown their hands up in despair. They don't know what to do. I pray they would know today that your grace is for them. They can come to you and lay that before you and ask you for wisdom and guidance, and they can begin running again, pursuing after you, because there is a prize, there is a goal, and it is Jesus. When we cross that finish line, you will be there, already victorious. And so, Lord, help us to run our race with patience, to run as one that's going to receive the prize, to work with effort and diligence, and to endure. Father, may you work this morning as only you can. If there's anybody here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray they'd come to know you before they leave this place, trusting in Christ alone. Lord, help us to keep going when there's criticism, when others quit, when we fail, when it hurts, when it's difficult. Lord, help us to keep going, because we run for your glory. So help us to know that this morning. And Lord, thank you for the coaches you've put around us, the voices that you've given us that speak your truth and encourage us and push us, yes, Lord, and even challenge us and draw our attention to things that need to change for your glory. Lord, we need those coaches, those voices. So Lord, help us to be wise in who we listen to. The book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs is filled with example after example of giving our influence to the right person. We don't need to listen to the critic or the fool. We need to listen to the wise, to the coach, to the one that's going to push us to Jesus. And again, thank you for this church full of those voices that can encourage us and share with us and motivate us to keep going. Lord, it's amazing. When I want to quit, someone else is encouraging me to keep going. And when I'm moving and in a good place with you and things are going well, you bring into my life somebody that wants to quit. And I'm able to speak that to someone else. And so, Lord, thank you that we can do that for one another. Again, Lord, use all of this for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet as we're led in a song of invitation? Whatever the Lord is doing, would you come? Maybe you're here this morning and you've already quit. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. Maybe you come this morning and say, Lord, help me to start running again for your glory. Maybe you're enduring some things right now. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his power that he will get you through. Because we know one day we will see him face to face. Would you come as we sing?